In high school, as I've shared many or confessed many times, in high school I often would get it was a number two on our report card. A number two says, "Does not work up to potential," and I thought that was always overrated anyway. You know, and I'm sure that they put it number two because I never got a number one, so I don't know what that is. But "does not work up to potential" was something I would often get, and then I think it was a number five that was says "creates class disturbance" was the next one that I would get on a regular basis. So. But I had an English teacher who was very prim and proper, and the guy was—he was very good at what he did, and I was not really good at what he did, and so it just kind of like was oil and water. And one thing that was very popular in his—if he shut his door, you were late for class. It didn't matter what time it was. If his door was shut, you were late for class. So if you got there and the door was shut, you might as well go to the office and confess and whatever you needed to do, grovel, whatever you needed to do to get a late pass so you could get in his door, because you were not getting in his door. So when you add that into not really caring for school to begin with, and then not working up to potential, and then not really caring for English in addition to that, I did not do really well in English, and perhaps I wish I would have done better so I could maybe speak more clearly now and use the terms that I am supposed to use and be able to even pronounce words. But I can remember the interrogative pronouns. I actually can remember those, and their interrogative pronoun is used to ask a question. So it's the pronoun that starts it off. It's kind of the pronoun that is the beginning question mark, so to speak, at the statement. It begins with an interrogative pronoun, and then it ends with a question mark. And often there's five W's and an H, right, that make that happen. So the five W's are this. They are the who and the what and the when and why and where, and then the H would be how. Often that phrase would start out that way. How do you do this, or why do you do this, or what do you need, or those types of things, and that would be starting the question. And it didn't give you the answer, but at least let us pose the question of that we were trying to glean the answer from. And some of it was interesting, or was not always meant to be answered. My dad says, "How many times do I have to tell you?" It's an interrogative pronoun sentence, but it was not something he was seeking an answer to. You know, if you wanted to speak up and say 3, 4, 5, that was not a popular answer, right? All dads in the room said, that's not what we're seeking. So sometimes we ask questions that we're not really seeking the answer to. But I want to ask a question this morning that I want an answer to. That I want in my life, in my personal life, I want an answer to this question. And it's an interrogative pronoun and a verb together, and it makes a question statement. The question is this: why pray? I want an answer to that question. I don't want just this to be, I want an in-depth answer. I want a real answer. I want a real answer of why to pray. Why should I pray? And I know that God is sovereign. I really do. And I know that God has this plan laid out. And so I wrestle with that in my mind and in my heart of why I pray. And what are we doing? How do I pray? Or why pray? And so I want to answer that question. We're going to start a journey today. We're going to start a journey of a 29-day prayer. And I asked Cheryl that back in December, I said, I want to do a prayer journey for a month before Easter. Will you unpack that? Will you help me facilitate something that we can have in our hands so we can be on a prayer journey together for the 30 days before Easter? Well, we got 29 today. So today we're going to kick off this, and then we're going to answer the question. We're going to be praying, but I want to spend just a few moments this morning answering the question, why pray? In the Monday night group a couple of years ago, worked on that question. And some of the thoughts I'm sharing with you this morning would be something that we glean from that group. And there's some additional thoughts as well. And as I answer that question, I think clearly to me, the question, it can be answered, and it's viable. The answers are viable in my life, and it gives me the incentive to be a man of prayer. But I just don't want to convince us to be men and women of prayer and then not give us a tool to help us be men and women of prayer. Does that make sense? You can teach me how to mow the lawn, but I need a lawnmower. Redneck terms, that's what I'm trying to do here. I want to know why to pray, but then I want to be equipped. And so Cheryl has unpacked this for the last few months and worked on this, and we got this pack of stuff. One for today where she's going to help us navigate through that at the end of this message. And then one for every day between now and Easter. We will do the final prayer time together Easter Sunday morning. The last card in your pack is Easter Sunday morning. And we will do that each Sunday between now and then. We will do it together. And Cheryl was going to explain more of that. She's going to explain how to pray or equip us to pray this morning. I just want to answer the questions in the next few minutes. Why pray? So sharing some of the results that the Monday night group had come up with and sharing some additional thoughts, here we go. Number one, God calls us to pray, or God commands us to pray. You want to know why to pray? Because God is calling you to pray. And here it says, just some of the scriptures, pray for those who persecute you. See, the design is God says, I'm calling you to do that. Not if you feel like it, not if you want to. I'm calling you. And when you pray, the assumption is there that you're praying. And when you pray, because I'm calling you to pray. Why pray? Because God has commanded us to pray. Now, maybe you don't like to be told what to do. Hang on, there's more reasons. But you got to go with that one first. Sometimes I know that God says, because I'm God and the secret things belong to me, and I will reveal to you what I think you need be revealed to. This is one of the things he's revealed. And he says, this then is how you should pray. All the way through the scripture, if we count it up, and I did, the word pray or a form of that word through just the New Testament, there's over 150 times that somebody is told to pray. Or somebody is praying. 150 times in 27 books of the New Testament, God is saying, pray, pray, pray. And I did research one time, and in the Church of Ephesus in Revelation says, you return and do the things you did at first. And I said, I wonder what they were doing at first. And so I went back in just the book of Acts, and I saw every time they were turning around, they were praying. Somebody was praying, some individual was praying, or some couple of people were praying, or a group of people were praying. God's commanding us to pray. Flip the button just 1 minute. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, he tells the Church of Rome. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and request. Pray, he said. I'm telling you, I'm calling you to pray. I'm commanding you to pray. Devote yourselves to prayer, he tells the Church of Colossae. Be watchful and thankful. I urge you, he tells Timothy. First of all, the requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. I'm telling you, Timothy, you need to be a man of prayer. You need to pray. God's commanding us to pray. Why pray? Because God says to pray. And God is calling us to pray. In Timothy or in Thessalonians, he tells the church of Thessalonica, pray continually. Pray continually. Over 150 times, God is telling us to pray, or someone is praying just in the New Testament. Why pray? Because God commands us, because God calls us. Number two, prayer is more than just making a request. Why pray? Because it's not just your shopping list for the day. It's more than that. It's more than just a request. God, why are you commanding us or calling us to pray? It's more than a request. Why pray? Because it's more than just making a request. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. See, the petition is part of that. The petitioning God or having a list or coming before God and saying, God, I need this in my life. Or I need your touch here. That's petitioning God. But prayer is bigger than that. It's more, I don't need anything from God. Oh, yeah, you do. You need a communication with God. And God said, it's more than just your shopping list. It's more than just coming to me for stuff. I'm not the divine Walmart in your life, although I have your provision. I'm not asking you to pray. I'm not commanding you or calling you to pray so that you can fill your shopping cart with something. It's bigger than that. It's more than that. Prayer is more. Why pray? Because prayer is more than making a request. Number three, prayer is a conversation with God. In Hebrews, it says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Let us come before God. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's conversation language. God said, what you need, you can't put in a grocery cart. You think you need another $100 or you think you need a new car. What you really need is just to converse with me. What you just really need is just to talk with me. And I will show you the ways. My thoughts are greater than your thoughts. And if you don't ever communicate with me, you're never going to know my thoughts. And you're never going to know my ways. You're only going to be running around with a shopping cart and say, God's not putting anything in my shopping cart. I might as well stop shopping with God. It's because prayer is not a shopping venture. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is a conversation with God. Why pray? Because God says, why pray? Because it's more than running a shopping cart around the divine Walmart. It's this conversation with God, and God's got something that he wants to converse with you about and me about, and he wants to talk with us. And he says, I call you to have this conversation with me. Number four, receiving from God is not always automatic. It's not always automatic. Why would he say this? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. God says, you know what? I'm calling you to pray. Because I want to release things into your life and I want to heal you and I want to heal you from the past. I want to heal you from the junk in your life. I want to give you a provision in your life. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the provider. But you won't ask me. You don't spend this time in this conversation with me. You think it's a journey to Walmart. I want to do it in your life. I want to give you something. I want you to ask and I want to release it into your life. But sometimes if we're not in a conversation with God, the problem is that we ask and we don't get what we ask for, and God can't release what we need in our life because it doesn't fit in our cart. That's got to make sense. Does that make sense this morning? Why pray? Because prayer is powerful. It says this in James. James is talking to the churches scattered throughout. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Some of that's the physical healing that we pray for, and some of it's the spiritual healing. And Why? The prayers of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. God says, why am I commanding you? Why am I calling you to pray? Because prayer is powerful. And it produces a result. That's what effective means. Well, this doesn't do any good. Keep praying. God says it does. And I get it. You can give me a reason why it doesn't. I can give you one why it does. God says it does. Keep praying. I would hate to hang up the phone one day short of God doing something in my life. God says, why do I call you to pray? Because I'm calling you to do the most powerful thing, the most effective thing, the thing that will produce the greatest result, the cause, the result, is to have this conversation with me, not run around the divine Walmart with a cart, but ask. Allow me to release into your life. Have a conversation with me. Watch what I can do in your life. Watch what I can do through you as you call on me and in relationship to other people. Because the prayers of a righteous person or a person who stands in Christ. We talked about it last week. My battle cry is, I am in Christ. And I stand in Christ. Not my own righteousness, but the imputed righteousness of Jesus is credited to my account. And I stand in his righteousness. Therefore, my prayers are powerful and effective. Because Jesus is the one translating them to the Father. How about it? Why pray? I'm coming to the conclusion of my life, why not? What kind of nut would I be if I didn't take advantage of God calling me to do something, and God wanting this in my life, and God giving me this powerful and effective communication with him? Number six, because God is looking for people who will pray. And it says in Ezekiel, I looked for a man among them who would build up a wall, and the words are intercede. To stand in the gap, stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, or intercede for this people, intercede for this situation. I'm looking for people who will stand up and be men and women of prayer. I want, I've commanded, yes, but I'm not going to force you. But my eyes are looking for those who will pray. I'm calling you to pray, to stand in the gap, to intercede into situations, to intercede for your family, to get others to intercede for our country, to intercede for your spouse, to intercede for your kids. I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap. On behalf of the land, so that I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. What a tragic thing. That no one would have this conversation with God, and no one would stand before God, and no one would intercede, and no one would cry out for this family or this situation or this country, and God found no one who will be a part of the most powerful and effective thing that God gives us. So I had to let it go the way it was going. And it was going toward destruction. God, why didn't you just change it? Why don't you just change it? And he said, I am. I would have if you would have asked. Number seven. Hang on, Cheryl. I only got eight. Why pray? Because Jesus prayed on a regular basis. And I always kind of figure if I study through this and what Jesus is doing, I probably figured I need. This is just a reading between the lines. Jesus doesn't say, do it because I did it. But this is a time when God, when I'm looking and saying, Jesus did this. Look what he did. And this is talking about Jesus. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Then Jesus came with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here a while I go over there and pray, because I need this conversation with the Father, because the wall that's in front of me is going to be impenetrable unless I can have this communication with the Father. Unless the Father can release into my life what I need, this wall is going to stop me. I've got to have this communication with the Father. Give me this chance to have this communication with the Father. He continues in other places of the scripture with statements like this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to the Father. I always know how arrogant I can be when I think I can face something without seeking God, and Jesus couldn't face it without seeking God. Why does God command us or call us to pray? Because it's communication. It's a powerful communication. It's powerful and effective. Because it releases God's his will into the situations. It releases God into the situation. And number 8 this morning is this. Because Jesus taught his disciples to pray, so he must have thought it was something that was necessary for them to learn too. Not only did he do it in his own life, but now he's not just saying mow the lawn. But he's driving this over there and he's saying, you know what, Peter, here's a lawnmower. This then is how you should run the lawnmower. Because I know how powerful and effective this prayer is. I have walked on this earth and I've stayed in communication with God and the Father, and I have gone to solitary places and I continually cried out to God and I prayed. I know that it works here on this earth. I know. And so I'm going to teach you to pray. This then is how you should pray. And Cheryl's going to lead us through. She's taken this prayer and she's transformed it into this statement of kingdom lifestyle. In the next 29 days, with our packets in hand, we're going to live as kingdom people, taking full advantage of the communication and conversation with God, because it's powerful and effective. Stop running our carts around the Walmart of God, we think, but have this communication with God.
You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he taught so that we could know how to live a kingdom lifestyle. His first teaching on prayer is found in Matthew 6, right in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Now, do you think it's any coincidence that teaching on prayer would be in the middle of his sermon? I don't think so. Prayer is essential to a godly walk and to our Christian walk. Ed has given us what the Bible has to say of why we should pray and its importance. Martin Luther says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Charles Spurgeon says, true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the creator of heaven and earth. And Bishop T.D. Jakes says this about his mother. And this is what I want to be. She became a warrior, far superior to any epic hero. She became a giant on her knees. With a sword in one hand, she battled the enemies of death and disease. And with her other hand, she stretched it toward heaven, and she kept beseeching God for his help and his mercy. Ed and I are asking you to join us on a 29-day journey of spiritual transaction with the creator of heaven and earth, and beseeching him for help, mercy, and beginning today and ending on Easter Sunday. I've used the acrostic, the word lifestyle, and the Lord's Prayer as a guide to help us through the next 29 days. And if we'll turn to page 2, I did not, it's the one that says laud and intimacy, faith and expectancy. I didn't get a slide. I apologize for that. This will be our guide. lifestyle is on the side, L-I-F-E-S-T-Y-L-E. On Sunday, we'll be praying in laud or praise and intimacy. On Monday, we'll be praying in faith and expectancy. And on Tuesday, we'll be praying in submission. And on Wednesday, we'll be praying in trust. And on Thursday, we'll be praying for a yielded heart. And on Friday, we'll be praying with longing. And on Saturday, we will be praying for empowerment. This will encompass 4 weeks of our prayer time. On week one, we'll be praying lifestyle for ourselves. And on week two, we'll be praying lifestyle for our families. And on week three, we'll be praying lifestyle for our friends, our coworkers, and our neighbors. And on week four, we will be praying lifestyle for our world. Each day, as you can see on the cards, there is a scripture to read, a song to listen to, or a video to watch, and then a suggested prayer to guide you. Now, I hope this doesn't seem confusing. It's not as muddy as I may be making it. I assure you, these cards that you're holding in your hand will guide you each day to pray Kingdom Lifestyle. Do you have anything to ask? Dad? Okay. Let's begin on Sunday, March 4th. That first card that says Sunday, March 4th. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's Matthew 6b.
This is where the sermon stops being just the two of us and starts being all of us. This is the invitation. We're doing this together today. What you're going to be doing tomorrow and every day following that for 29 days. Today we're doing this together. We have the video keyed up. We're going to go through this. We're having this time of prayer at this very moment together.
Praying with laud or praise and intimacy. Psalm 148:13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
He says, praise him, sun and moon, and praise him, all you shining stars. That's not just a poetic idea. That's really happening, because stars don't just shine. Stars also sing. Let me just show you a couple more stars. This one is called the Vela Pulsar, and it's magnificent. It's 1,000 light years away. It's a highly magnetized neutron star. Right. It simply means this star exploded into a supernova, and in the case of the Vela Pulsar, it collapsed back on itself in a magnetic entity. And as a pulsar, it began oscillating on its axis. This one oscillates 11 times a second on its axis. And as it is oscillating, you can see what's happening. It's shooting a radio frequency out of itself. When they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. Now, I don't know about you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. You're like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Is that some kind of Morse code for something, or what does all that mean? I don't know what it means, but, and I don't want to, you know, go too crazy here, but maybe the Vela Pulsar got wind somehow innately of Psalm 148 verse 3, and since it says, praise him, sun and moon, and all you shining stars. We're a shining star. We should praise him. Well, how are we going to praise him? I know. Let's oscillate 11 times a second on our axis and see if we can send a radio signal into the universe that would join in the symphony of God's praise from all creation. It's singing. The stars are singing to him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. We'll show you the picture of it here. There are 12 of these super giant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars. And right now, tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars in 47 Tuck are making this sound right now. That one's a little out of tune. Beautiful. Who knew? You know, God has his own string section. Isn't that beautiful? And we've just looked at 11 times a second pulsar and 16 millisecond pulsars, and you start seeing Psalm 48 come to life. But look down in verse 7. It says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps." The whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen. We don't know the expanse of the worship that is continually surrounding the throne of God. And our songs are great, but God isn't banking on our songs because he is surrounded by a symphony that's bigger than our wildest dreams tonight. Stars sing and whales sing and the birds fly. And I just tried to imagine what would it sound like if you could just for a second be God and hear what he hears. And I can't get us there tonight, but I came close. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program, and I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. Now, this guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSRBO329-54, and he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Vela Pulsar. You remember the Vela Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. But that's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? And so we're going to put the millisecond guys in there, the ones you just heard. Here they come. Undoctored and unedited. Here they come. Asking what you're asking, because some people need it really clear, like, what are they singing? And we tried this, and you just got to know this is unedited. We just dropped this on, and this is what happened. This is what they might be singing. Thank you.
Acknowledging the holiness of God, that He is the Father and the beginning of everything. And we'll be acknowledging and laud and praise His work in our life. So we're going to be spending a little time in prayer. If anybody would like to come to a mic and pray, praising God, laud and intimacy for His work in our life, the work in the universe, feel free to do that.
Thanks, God. Sorry about that. For taking an old atheist like me and loving me.
Amen. Amen.
Last night, work for Sheets, just driving around fixing stuff. Spend the evening underneath a vat of boiling oil trying to fix a fryer, and I was pretty down and disgusted with what I was doing. But I set up driving my next call, driving down I-99, and I looked up at that big, beautiful moon. Crystal clear last night. It was just glorious. And I contemplated that partial moon up there, and I thought about the sun that was casting light on that moon that I could not see. I could not see that sun, but it was still casting that light on that moon. It gave me great joy, and I thank God for that moment, that He gave me joy in my existence and the place I have in this world. And just thank you, God, for that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh God, we acknowledge your holiness. I stand in awe of you. That you would create such beings. That you would create such greatness in your nature. That they cry out and they praise you. I thank you, Lord, for your work in my life. Lord, I apologize for those times when I do not recognize you working in my life. I do not see you working in my life. You are always there. You are abounding around me. Thank you. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for just loving us.
God, just the fact that you allow us to have this intimate relationship with you and give us a heart of praise and then give us pictures of moons that are reflecting powerful sun rays. Give us pictures of whales singing and pulsars doing what they do. Leads me back to the passage of scripture that said the rocks will cry out. The mountains will bow down. The trees will clap their hands. I get this big picture, God, that that's going on right at this very moment. And when we join in with all of creation as we worship, as we praise, as we sing, we're joining in with all of creation. Father, thank you for that. Father, thank you that we can, along with the sun, moon, and stars, the animals and the trees, thank you that we can sing how great is our God. And then thank you that you will take an old broken down vessel and you'll restore them and you'll redeem them because you love them. Father, thank you so much for that. Father, 29 days, we're going to commit to coming closer to you and taking you up on that call to be men and women of prayer. And Father, so as we navigate through these cards, the black and white, but may we find ourselves spending time with you, listening to the word, listening to the worship music that's here posted each day. And let us move into your very presence and bring our praises and our requests and our concerns and our conversation to you. Father, I thank you so much for that. I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to make one more announcement. Each night, the day before this is to be done, each night we will post this link on our Facebook. So the link that you're supposed to watch or listen to will be posted onto Facebook. So you can just go right to there, click on it, and it'll be there. We will do that in the night hour so that you that get up early will have it ready for you, ready to do. Let that move you into the very presence of God. Let the scripture move you there, and then let this beginning sentence of this prayer move you into a prayer time with God. 29 days. We'll come together. We're going to end this committed time together on Easter. I can't wait for Easter. I can't ache for what God's going to do. Stand with me today. Have a great day. See you next week.